Folks, Merry Christmas.
There he is. Oh, look at how big you've grown, baby.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Mom.
Knock on the door.
Of course I do.
You know, they took a pint of fluid out of my lower back.
You see this mole? This mole on my neck? You think it's changing color?
No. Well, you keep touching it, it's getting redder.
I got hemorrhoids. Can you believe that?
Oh, Mother.
Isn't that terrible?
You're not getting
after
the garage
what you did to my automobile. I'm doing the parking. Russ, you want to help me?
They're not sleeping in my room. They're going to go crazy.
So there, sweetheart. Your grandma Nora's got a real painful burr on my heel.
And if you rub it for me, I'll give you a whole quarter.
Okay? A quarter.
And I'll give Audrey a quarter, too, Audrey.
I'm going to put my car in the garage.
This is what Christmas is all about. Ella, park the cars and check the luggage, and I'll be outside for a season.
All right, so that's what we're going to do. And the reason it can be a best December is we're going to focus right at the beginning about the true meaning of Christmas, what it's really all about. And we're going to talk about some choices that we make and that we're going to make this month in order to make sure that this remains best December we've had. So we're going to begin with the choice that's on your outline. You can use this one or the one on your app. It's kind of the main theme of today's talk, and that is it's time to share the good news. So the good news at its core is what Jesus came to do, that he was born into this world and he came to reconcile man. That's the good news. That's what Christmas is all about. Everything else, everything associated with Christmas beyond that is just the decorations. So Jesus coming, that's the true meaning and reality of what Christmas is. We know that. Look what happened at the first Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. An angel said to them, the shepherds that were out in the field, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So then the shepherds went and they checked out what had been said and they saw the baby Jesus. And then after that happened, Luke 2 verse 17 says, when they, the shepherds, had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. So that's it. Somebody told them something. They went and checked it out, and then what'd they do? They shared it. They told it to other people. And that's a real part of what Christmas season is all about, telling the story, sharing with others the story of Christmas and its true meaning. But people don't always do that right. And so, I don't know about you, but I know for me, even before I became a Jesus follower, there were kind of two different types of people that would share their story with me. And one group was more like salesmen. So they were slick. And I don't know if you have ever had this happen, but you just kind of felt like you were being pressured into something. You're being sold something and trying to be talked into why you need Jesus and why this and you shouldn't be this. And they were just kind of selling you on it, like you were going to sign up for some kind of a pyramid thing going on. So I repelled that. But then there were others. And they were just like the real people, who they were sharing their story, and they were a little bit awkward about it and didn't have all the maybe the right things to say, but they were still communicating, and that was endearing. I listened to that. I think we all listened to that more than the other. So this morning, I want to give us some thoughts and ways that we can share the story of Christmas with other people during this month. Okay, you ready? Go ahead and write this down for number one. And this is key. This is the premise that everything else is built on. If I want to tell the good news, I must enjoy it myself. Right? I mean, I'm not going to tell others good news unless I enjoy it myself. If I'm not enjoying it, what am I going to tell them? Right? So look back at what the angel said to the shepherds on the first Christmas. He said, I bring you good news of great joy. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. My question is, How does good news become great joy? Good news becomes great joy when it goes from just being news to it being personal. That's when it becomes great joy. So, for example, like I've read, I don't remember if it was an article or it was a post or something like that, but remember, and this happened a couple times, you read about somebody who got this unexpected gift of $20,000 as like a check in the mail, or it was a tip at a table or a bonus, and here it came to them, $20,000, and I'm watching this report, and I'm like, oh, that is good. That's like happy news. Good for them. Now, if I get an unexpected check in the mail for $20,000, it's not just good news, that's great joy. Do you know what I'm saying? I went from, I appreciate what happened over there, cool stuff, good for you, to, wow, that's great joy. So the fact that Jesus came into the world to redeem mankind, to forgive sins, to reconcile mankind back to God, to bring us hope, all of these things, that's good news. But when it becomes my experience, when that news touches me and affects me personally, that's when it becomes great joy, right? That's the joy of Christmas, that we have hope no matter what we're facing, that we have a God who is not just up in the sky and we hope he hears our prayers, but that we talk to and we walk with and we connect with and we have hope in this world regardless of what we're facing. That's good news. I'm hoping during this month that becomes great joy for you personally. The only way I've ever known this kind of joy to last and not just be an event, you know, like, because there is one moment where you'll accept that news. When you give your heart to Christ, when you surrender and you say, I put my faith in what you did, you accept it in that moment. But we're called to live in this daily, day by day. I want to experience this kind of joy, which means, now hear me, we got to choose it. We have to choose for this good news to be great news in our lives. And the reason I have to make a choice to choose this every day, his presence, the reality of the good news in my life, the great joy in my life, the reason I have to choose every day is because not only do I have the good news of Jesus inside of me, but I also got a lot of bad news in this world too. Anybody have any bad news in their lives too? We've got a lot of bad news that is going on. So I've got to make a choice pretty much every day whether I'm going to focus on the good news right now or I'm going to focus on the bad news. I'm going to let one of them dominate my life. I can't have both. So one of them is going to dominate my life. And I'm very aware of the fact that some of us are going through things in life where there is a lot of bad news right now. That's just reality. So what do we do about that? Do we just pretend it's not there and just try to ignore it because I'm trying to be a super Christian? And so I just deny those realities? No. But what we want to do is focus our minds on what truly is good, and because the goodness of that good news really can overwhelm the bad news in our lives. It's not denying that there's bad. It's just saying, I'm not going to allow, and this is a choice, I am not going to allow, I'm not denying it, but I'm not going to allow that bad news to drive my existence. I'm going to put my faith in what is true, and that is the good news. And what that does is it changes my perspective about everything I face in life, because I know I'm not alone. And so I need to choose that all day, every day. And that's why, like the Apostle Paul, he was writing to a church in Philippi, and he said this popular statement, if you've been around church for a while, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that's a potent declaration. I can do all things. I can have joy in the midst of suffering. I can have peace in the midst of hardship. I can have this. I can do all things. What's the next two words, though? Through Christ. See, that's the key right there. It's through Christ who strengthens me. And I do this by choosing daily to connect with him. And you can do that in just even if you do it for a few minutes. I mean, just to bring yourself back to what's truth. Bring yourself back to God. You're gonna experience something in LA this month that seems hard to believe. More traffic than normal. And you're gonna have plenty of opportunities. How many of you think, Mark, you talk about traffic a lot? That's where Christ is being worked into my life, is in traffic. But you're gonna be at red lights. Let that just be a thing for you. Like, oh, I'm at a red light. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna just connect. You know, maybe I talk to him in the morning, but I'm just gonna connect right now. I'm sitting at a red light. So, hey God, let's talk. And pray for other people in the other cars. Pray for your friends, family, whatever it is. It's not about denying the hurt. It's not about denying the sorrow or the hard things that are facing. It's about not letting it be that thing which drives you. And it's not uncompassionate for me to say that. It really is a choice in all of our lives that we make to let the goodness of this good news permeate our thoughts and drive us and change our perspective. How do you do that? Because it's one thing to do it on a Sunday when we got the worship team and we're all here together and we're hearing messages and we're doing this, but it's another thing to do that on Monday, right? Or Tuesday or Wednesday. How do I let the good news be what drives my life and not be overwhelmed by the bad news? All right, the next verse talks about that. Philippians 4, verse 4. He says, in fact, read this with me. You ready? Outdoor voice. Here we go. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say it again. Be full of joy. Now, the key to that verse, take out your pen, circle in the Lord, because that's about Jesus. Being full of joy is all about our relationship with Jesus. You want to experience daily joy, daily good news? Then we need to daily be connected to Jesus. That's what it means to be full of joy. Be full of joy in the Lord. So in order to experience joy, somebody says, well, I'm not experiencing joy. Are you connected? Are you getting it through him? And the problem is we just get busy. So I want to encourage you, first thing, this December, take moments, take times where you're constantly just reconnecting to truth, reconnecting to God, little things, big things, connecting to God, and not allow the busyness to wipe out our month, and then all of a sudden we're through the month and we're wondering, where did it go? And I was stressed out again. It'll be a better December if we are filling ourselves with Jesus throughout the holidays. How many of you love the holidays? I love the holidays. I do. I love the stuff, all of it. I love the parties, going to the parties, and the food. I mean, the food in the holidays is like, bring it, right? Because it's just, yes. The special eggnog, love it. I'm not sure why you're laughing. I just meant cinnamon in the eggnog. No, all of it. The trees, the decorations. How many of you already got your tree in your house? Right? Trees, decorations, all these kinds of things. I love it. I even love Santa. I'm sorry. Out of the closet. Love Santa. I haven't always loved Santa, though. I had a real problem with Santa a number of years ago. Is true. And it wasn't like a righteous reason to be mad at Santa, you know, or anything like that. It was just I had a problem with him because somehow we formed this tradition in our home when my kids were little that I don't know about how you guys do it, but usually like there's this one really big special gift, right? And then there's a bunch of other gifts that go along, but there's one that they really wanted. And so we decided, I don't know why, to leave that special big gift unwrapped with a note from Santa. So when they came out, they saw that because Santa's not wrapping it, right? And then all the rest of the gifts were from us. Until I realized that Santa's getting all the credit every year. And Dad looks cheap, right? And so I remember, but they were around like 5, 7, and 9 or somewhere around there. And I said, forget that. I ain't doing that anymore. So I started taking the PlayStations and the Xboxes and the bikes and these kind of things, and I wrapped them up. They were from me, and they got like socks from Santa, you know, and stuff like that. I'm like, flip that right there. Just turn that right there. I do. I love Christmas. I think it's fun. I love the traditions that we do, all the things that we do, the ornaments, the decorations, the Santa, whatever. They're meant to bring happiness. They are. That's what we have them for. They're meant to bring happiness. They're fun. That's my take on it. But they're not enough to bring joy. They can bring happiness. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. Like if your football team won. Those of you who know me know why I'm happy this month. Four straight in a row. Go Cowboys. That's all I got to say about that. I'm just saying. Happiness is connected to the external. That something happens and it makes you happy. And we shouldn't shy away from that. Don't you want happy things in your life? Yeah. And so we do things and we surround ourselves with, like with Christmas traditions and stuff like that, and they bring happiness. But only relationship with God can bring a joy that goes way deeper than happiness, that is not transient, that is not dependent upon people treating me right or things going right. Those can be happy moments, but if you find yourself just going shroom, 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 with your emotions like that, maybe you're addicted to the circumstance and events and experiences of happiness, but we haven't tapped into the joy, which goes deeper. And the joy comes from this connection that we have with God. Happiness is fine. That's what we like. We like the traditions, all of it. But just don't make sure you make the distinction between Christmas traditions and Christmas reality. Because Christmas reality, what he came to bring us into, that will fuel your life. That will bring joy and not just happiness. Psalm 107, verse 22. It says, with joy, they should tell what he has done. No one wants to hear somebody tell about good news with no joy, right? We want somebody with joy in their life, hopefully some joy on their face, too, to share the good news. So that's where we start. If I'm going to share with others and tell others the story of Christmas, I first need to make sure I'm enjoying it myself. That it needs to be something personal. How do I get that? You receive it. You don't work for it. You don't try to make all your circumstances line up so that you can be at joy. Joy goes deeper than circumstances. So we receive it. We receive the free gift of what he brought us and allow that to permeate our being. Okay, number two. I must make the time to tell the good news. I got to make time to share it. But often, myself included, I've got no time during December to share the good news with others other than at a pulpit. And I need to do it personally with people as well. And the main reason is we're just too busy, right? We've got too many things going on this month. And it's kind of crazy, especially because this is the time of year where we're supposed to be and we're called to share and remember and reflect on what Jesus did and what his mission was and what he brought us into and enjoy that in our lives, but we're too busy to do it. In fact, it's kind of crazy. Here's what Jesus came to do. One of the things, Matthew 11:28. Jesus said this, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, that's his desire. It's not to put more on. You know, I got to do this, and I need to do this better, and I should do that. It's not that. That's not the message of Christ. He said, look, I already know you're weary and burdened. I get that. I see that. Come to me. I want to bring you into my rest, which is through connection with him. So this month, and it's funny, but it's not funny, but this month, which is meant to be, again, a time of reflection on what he did, ends up being probably the most stressful month of the year. Isn't that true? Okay, just think about this. The month of December, here's what happens. Here's what we do to ourselves during this month. During one month of the year, we go to more parties during one month than the entire rest of the year combined. We do that. For those parties, we usually are baking something. So even though we don't bake all year long, our oven is in continual bake mode all the month of December. And if that wasn't enough, we think of everybody that we should probably write a letter to this month. Why not? Because I've got nothing but time on my hands. And not only that, I'm going to use this one month to find all those special people that are in my life, and I've got to get them the perfect present. I've got to get them the perfect present, but that's fine because I got a month to do it. Oh, let's do this also this month. Let's redecorate our whole house, right, this month. And then also because it's such a good time, let's release the kids from school for 2 weeks this month too. Welcome to December. And so we go, it's like, okay, so I'm giving you permission. That way you can blame it on me that you get to reorganize your schedule any way you want. in order to make sure that we have some time in order to share this good news with people. All right, so if we're going to have time to actually share with people the good news, how am I going to do that? How's it actually going to get done? Write down number three. I must plan to do it. I've got to plan to do it. If I'm going to share the good news, I have to plan to share it. It's kind of like our Christmas offering that we talked about this morning, and we do. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks. Why? Because we want ourselves to be able to plan to do it, not just knee-jerk or rush it in. We want to plan. There's some times that you actually kind of trip into doing something good for somebody, but most of the time, 90% of the time, you plan on it. You think about it, and you plan on, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take them out to lunch. I'm going to give them this. You plan on doing these things. It's what happened the first Christmas. Look back at Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds, they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So here's a thought. What if the shepherds never made that plan? What if the angels had come, they made this great announcement, they did this in the sky, seeing this whole thing, and the shepherd's like, whoa, that was awesome. I mean, the music, did you see the lights, the bright, everything? I mean, what just happened? That was incredible. Whoa. Okay, guess we ought to get back to work. Right? But they didn't. They could have done that, but they didn't. They said, okay, because of what just happened, the magnitude of this thing, the importance of this thing, you need a plan. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that they talked about. Let's confirm this. Let's do that. God tells us in His Scripture to make a plan to share the good news. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said to His followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. It doesn't happen unless I plan on it. We do it as a church. We plan how we get missions trips, how we fund these things, how we go or reach the homeless here or reach hurting people or feed or do whatever we do, all the things. It's not just happenstance. We plan it, and you know that. You plan in your lives. But are we planning, really strategically, are we planning opportunities to share the good news of this holiday, of this Christmas season with other people? Because you can. Now, there are bad plans, so I want to correct anybody who's got a bad plan, because there are bad plans to share the wonder of Jesus during the holidays, and I have seen them. In fact, they've already come across. I've had this one come across Facebook already. This is what not to do. Look at that. Huh? Merry Christmas! Santa is evil! Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my gosh. Okay, bad plan. The world is not waiting for this kind of stuff. I have so many words in my brain right now. I'm going to stick with stuff. That's not going to do it. That's not going to win their hearts to God, right? Having Jesus stand over Santa with a bat, right? We are dumb sometimes. We just really are as people. I love people, but just dumb sometimes. Look, it's not that kind of stuff. It's somebody like you just being real and just sharing. Maybe you're a little nervous to share with somebody, you know, how the real Christmas story affected you or has a place in your life. Maybe you're a little nervous, like you don't want to be pushy, you know, and you don't want to, whatever, you don't want to force it in. And I get that, and that is okay. But there's still this desire inside of you, like, yeah, I know it's more than this and presents and stuff. There is a legit, true meaning of Christmas, and it's what God did by sending His Son. And you want to share that with people. It's just like, how do I do that, though, in a way that's not like that, right? Okay, so that's what I want to pivot into right now. These are just some practical ways, some good ways, simple ways. I've got seven that I've listed here, but there's so many more. This seven will just kind of get you started on thinking of, here's some ways I can share the good news of Christmas during this season. Number one, pray. Pray. Pray for your friends and family. Make a list, literally, make a list of people who you want them. You're jealous for them to know this Jesus. and what God did in Christmas. So make a list and pray for them, friends, family, workers. And then actually spend some time, carve out some time, and pray for those people that God would reveal himself to them during this season. Or maybe that there would be a very natural opportunity for you to share. You know? Okay, number two. If your parents here or grandparents, read to your children. Read to your kids. Read them the Christmas story. That so they can hear about it from you or from you're an aunt or an uncle or whatever that is. There's two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, that both in chapter 2 that talk about the Christmas story. Matthew, it includes the story of the wise men, and Luke, the story of the shepherds, which we looked at today. You could spend time when they're going to bed and you read them a story. Or if they're a little bit older, maybe sit down and watch a good movie that is about the true Christmas story. I'm not saying watch only Christmas-themed Christmas movies. Because if that were the case, you wouldn't be able to watch Christmas Vacation, and that would be a crime. You have to. But take some time with your kids. It's just another way to share it. The Nativity Story is a great movie that came out a number of years ago. I loved it. And you can always fall back on the best, A Charlie Brown Christmas. It was great. Great. Anyway, spend some time with your children sharing the story of Christmas with them. Okay, number three. Here's one. Serve someone during this Christmas. Jesus tells us that he did not come to be served, but he came to serve. So what better way to share the good news of what Christmas is all about than to share and serve somebody? And there's 1,000 ways you can do that. You could cook somebody a meal and bring it over to them and just serve them. You can help them decorate. Maybe they don't have the ability or they don't have the finances, and you can do so. You can serve people. We've got 2 Christmas services that are happening here on the 23rd, which is a Sunday, and then Christmas Eve, the next day, Monday, we've got 2 services. You can serve by coming in and serving, greeting, watching kids so that somebody else will have packed houses so somebody else can come in. There's plenty of opportunities. In fact, one of the things I'm so thrilled about is you've already been doing this, so many of you. You do it a lot anyways, but this month we did a toy drive, right? For the kids in Tijuana. And the first week I was like, okay. Because I had this audacious goal of 500 toys, new toys, right, to come in. And here's you already showed it. Yeah, that you can't even see. There's boxes over to the side here. There's boxes. Some of these stacks are high. We've got about 500 toys right now. We haven't even, that was from a few days ago. That doesn't even include all the toys that are still coming in today and everything. So that was serving. Would you give yourselves a hand? That was really good. Yeah. So they're being driven down in just a couple of days, and then a team of us are going down and we're going to help pass them out and distribute them. But you were a part of that. Thank you for doing that. That's one way to do it, is to serve. Here's number 4. Visit with someone. Visit with someone. Find someone who's hurting and tell them the good news. Jesus was born into this world to let hurting people know there is hope. That was a primary mission of his. And so spend time, visit somebody. There's something about Christmas that turns up the volume in a person's life of what they're feeling. If they're already happy and then Christmas comes around, that just makes it even more. You know, it just kind of elevates it. But if they're already sad or in sorrow, Christmas has a way of elevating the sorrow too. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to find somebody who is hurting and serve them. And serve them and just spend time and visit them and be with them. Just show up. Show up for somebody this Christmas holiday season. And in fact, you may be here going, Mark, I need somebody to show up for me because I'm broken. You don't understand what's going on in my life. I have a need, and I'm in sorrow. I get that. Remember our first point. We want to make sure the goodness of the good news trumps that and surrounds that sorrow with happiness. But here's something else I want you to always remember. The best way out of misery is to give. It's not to deny the misery. It's not to deny the real things. We talked about that. But it is to give. It is 100 times better. It's to give. That's why the scriptures say it's better to give than receive. Here's what happens. When you do that and you're like, okay, I have a deficit. I'm in sorrow. I'm hurting. I get it. Legitimate reasons. I understand it. Here's the way to not get out of that. Just continue to rehearse that in your life and wait for others to be there for you. It's just going to perpetuate it. It's going to stay. And I'm compassionate with it, but I want you free, right? I want me free. The way to be free is out of your place of need and deficit, that's where we give. You give out of that point of need. I have told people so many times when somebody has come to me and said, I need, and there are always things going on. I'm like, you know what? The best thing you could do, really, it's to get out of, go to a hospital and visit people and just be friends to them. Go to a senior care living facility. Go and hang out with people. Get out of that and go give. Here's what happens. When you give, it's given back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's multiplied back. And so during this holiday season, one of the ways that we can share this good news is to serve people, is to just visit with a hurting person and spend time with them. I mean, we can change people's lives by doing that one thing, just showing up. So let's find a few people this December that we just show up for, okay? That was a good place for a hearty ride on.
Ride on.
All right, there we go. Number 5, some of you do this very well, throw a party. Throw a party, have fun, enjoy people. Have them into your house, have a party in here. Now, I'm not gonna, don't check me out because this part sounds a little corny. It could be very legitimate. It can be done very naturally. Much like when you do a Thanksgiving dinner, and a lot of times traditionally somebody, the host or everybody will go around the table and they'll say what? What am I thankful for? And it's cool. It's a nice moment of reflection. We're being thankful. You can do that at a Christmas party too. Be having fun. Got the stuff going on. Everything's happening. But there can come a moment, right? You're not throwing a wet blanket over the party. Just a moment where you share, these people, I love you. I'm so glad you're in my life. I want to share. And I'm grateful for all of this. I just want to say what I'm most grateful for this holiday season is the gift of God's love and his son and what he did. And to remind myself that that's really the meaning of Christmas. And I'm so grateful he brought you guys into my life as well. Just to share something, have a moment where we can do that while we're throwing a party, okay? Number 6, I really like this one. Gift someone at work. It's a way to do it. Gift somebody at work. And this doesn't mean like your best bud at work where you guys exchange gifts. This means, here's the challenge. I'm hoping a lot of you do this because I want you to send me emails and what happened. Find somebody at work who will be blown away by you remembering them this Christmas, and you just ambush them with an incredible gift. And they were like, what? Totally not expecting it. Maybe they're the shy, introverted person who's never really at the parties or this other thing. And you just go, you target them, and you pray about it, and you figure out a way to just knock it out of the park and bless them. That'd be fun, and it's also a way to serve and to give and to be there and to make somebody's Christmas special. So that's a practical way. All right, number 7, we've got 21 services in our East Lake network going on throughout Southern California, Utah, Tijuana. We've got 21. Invite somebody to one of our services within our network. We've got 2 that are happening right here in Venice. So, again, our service times, just so you know, you can write this down. Oh, it's on your ornament. And I love Pastor Guy. I do. He's a joy to work with. He's a wonderful man. But those ornaments are not for your tree. They are to give to somebody else. Okay. Very good. Unless you want to take a couple more, put them on your tree, but those are to give as an invitation to somebody. So those are our service times right now, 10:30 a.m. on the Sunday, and then the next day, Monday, at 5:30 p.m. So that's an easy way, is just invite somebody where we're going to share the good message of what Christmas is all about and have a fun time doing it. All right, last point, number 4. Write this down. I must trust God. If I'm going to share the good news with other people, I must trust God. And here's what I mean by that. Romans 8:25 says this. If we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. So, remember, as we're sharing the good news, with another person. Just because we share good news with another person doesn't mean they immediately accept it as good news, right? Our part is to do that. We share it. We share the good news. There's a wonderful passage that describes this in the Bible where it says, in relationship to this, one plants, one waters, God gives the increase. My job is not to get the increase. My job is not to produce change in people's lives or get them to understand or anything. My part is what? My part is to tell others. You can write that down. That's my part. Notice I said tell others. We didn't say sell others. So we're just telling others. That's our part. And you can do that very naturally and without trying to talk them into it. You tell others. You're not salesmen. What you are is a satisfied customer. You're sharing what Christmas means to you. And let the Holy Spirit take that seed that you've sown in somebody's life and let him do what he does. And that is that he convinces people. We're not called to do that. So my part is to tell others. God's part is to change lives. That's God's part. We speak, we share, we love, we serve, we do these things. And God's part is to change people's lives, not others. Only God can do that. And here's what I'm going to be praying for you as you tell others the good news. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. We're going to close with a song too. But here's the prayer. Paul prayed this for his friend Philemon. Hear this, because it's my prayer for you folks during this month. I pray that as you share your faith with others, it will grip their lives too, as they see the wealth of good things in you that come from Christ. See, that's my prayer. That as you share the good news with others, they're going to look at you and they're going to see the wealth, the treasury of life and hope and goodness in you, and it's going to grip their lives. And do you see, this kind of brings us back to our first point, which was you have to enjoy it yourself. There has to be a sense of this means something to me. It's not just good news, it's great joy that what Jesus did by coming into this world and giving his life, it's not just a story. It's not just an event that we celebrate once a year. It's an ongoing reality that will transform us if we receive it. Mark, is it really that simple? It really is. Not that easy, but that simple to receive it. Lord, even today, while the band is going to be playing and worshiping the Lord, I want you to take a moment saying, am I really receiving the gift that he's provided? I'm going to receive his hope today. I'm going to receive his life today. I'm going to receive his promise that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to receive this morning by engaging with him in worship. I'm going to take a moment and choose to receive from him what I need to not only get through the holidays, but to soar in them and to be a light. I can't get that myself, but he will give that to me if I open up, if I allow myself to receive from him. He will do that. That's the wonder of the Holy Spirit if we give him time. So will you stand with me? We're going to pray and just have a moment of worship. He has a wonderful name. His name is Jesus. And he's here for you no matter what you're facing. The goodness of the good news can overwhelm the bad news if we receive. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning. We're grateful. We're grateful that you keep your promises, that you are enough, God, no matter what we're facing. We pray that you would fill us this morning with the awareness of your presence and give us courage, God, an opportunity as we go about this month and share it with other people as well. And we'll give you all the praise. Holy Spirit, be here with us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.